You know, with your game this year, there's so much talk about the shooting, but then the other things you do to make up for all that sort of stuff, there's so much conversation about it. Do you totally disengage from that stuff? Do you hear what people say?
I've been disengaged in that conversation since I started playing basketball when I was 8.
Is that hard to do?
Nah, I've been blessed with the talent to not to give a fuck. So, and I don't.
Me and Russ got something in common because I think we've both been blessed with the talent to not give a fuck. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, however, wherever, and whyever you chose to listen, even if it's only because I text you 56 times, slid in your DMs, hit you on Facebook, I appreciate the fact that you chose to listen. This is Sports Whiskey and Earn, episode 2. Quick couple of updates. Facebook and Instagram page are up and running. Thank you, 4 ounce, 3 pound baby Jesus. We got our logo refinished. Appreciate you, Trey J. Joey, if you listening, Hawks on me next time we link up. Full disclosure, tonight I'm sipping on this good bullet whiskey. Orange label, of course, never the green. I actually stole this bottle from my homie Mike Crib. He was having like a little Valentine's Day shindig. And, you know, I just decided to treat myself to a little party favor. I'm all for stealing, full disclosure, if it benefits me. I have no problem with that. Before we get to the content, as I ask every week to my listeners, please pour yourself a cup of brown. Because we know only alcoholics and potentially Jason Kidd like to drink alone. I thought long and hard about an interesting, hard-hitting way to start this show off. Let me take a sip of this drink first. And where I've landed is this, right? Baseball as a staff, record label, and a crew fucking sucks, right? No, it really sucks. Like, this isn't a joke. Like, these fuckers can't even get free agency right. This is a process that's potentially seamless for every other sport. But with baseball, with MLB, it's like pulling teeth. The sport is dying and nobody really seems to care, right? Except for your 65-year-old white man. when you look at baseball, like, the proof that it fucking sucks is you have two of your biggest free agents, Manny Machado, Bryce Harper, right? They've been free agents now for going on 120 some odd days. This is outrageous. It's the off season. It's supposed to be fast paced. It's supposed to be used to generate interest in your teams. Instead, you have players who potentially won't even be signed by the start of training camp. That's laughable. And people wonder why, as I said, this league is dying. Further proof, your biggest name, Mike Trout, is, for all intents and purposes, a faceless superstar, right? Like, Mike Trout could be in KOP eating at Auntie Anne's and nobody would be the wiser. Like, nobody really knows what Mike Trout looks like, right? he's the biggest superstar in the sport. Like, they don't market their players properly. If the commissioner, who I don't even know his name at this point, was to call me and he said, "Earn, you know, I need your help. I need your assistance. We need to revitalize the sport. What are some suggestions that you might have?" I would immediately say, bring back steroids, right? It's the last time the sport was interested. Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa hitting bombs after bombs, running up the score, making it fun to watch. Baseball is boring as hell to watch. Have you ever, think about the last time you watched a full baseball game. And I'm not talking about having a baseball game on as background noise as you did other things, but sat intrigued, invested in a baseball game, right? When was the last time you actually did this? For most people, it might be never. for others, it might be 4 or 5 years ago. But unless your team is the LA Dodgers or the Boston Red Sox, your answer is definitely not going to be last season. Baseball fucking sucks. And on the opposite end of the spectrum, you got football, right? Football can essentially do no wrong. And I want to put this whole thing in perspective for you. Baseball, you know, hasn't really had much turmoil outside the fact that nobody wants to watch this shit. But football, on the other hand, has essentially been embroidered in a race war for the last 2 years, right? Everybody and their mom was essentially screaming boycott. And somehow the ratings, the merchandise sales all increase. More Americans are interested in the NFL offseason than baseball, period. Again, I say baseball fucking sucks. The NFL season essentially ended 2 weeks ago and has already had more intriguing storylines this offseason than baseball has had all season. I would watch the AAF over baseball. And I don't know nobody on those rosters. I know Mike Singletary is a coach. I know Steve Spurrier is a coach. You know, outside of that, it's a bunch of fucking nobodies. And if one of those games was on and a baseball game was on, it would be no doubt as to which one Earn is picking. Hell, it would be no doubt as to which one 95% of the viewing public was picking. Now that we've transitioned to football, there's a lot. Like I said, there's a lot of intriguing storylines in football in the offseason already, and we need to talk about them, right? Because they're conversation worthy. At the forefront, you got Kareem Hunt being signed by the Cleveland Browns. John Dorsey, the guy who drafted him in Kansas City, essentially said, "That's my guy, and I'm bringing him back into the fold." This is very controversial. A lot of people can't understand how you can be on tape a la Ray Rice a couple months ago, get kicked off of an NFL franchise, and essentially be signed without any punishment. That's the problem. So the problem is rich white men care more about ticket sales than they do morals. And I can't say I fault them, right? If I was rich, if I was white, if I owned an NFL franchise, I would probably care more about ticket sales, about filling the seats up, than I would morals as well. Because we know time has told us, proven, that winning helps people forget, right? Whether it's Michael Vick, whether it's Plaxico Burress, whether it's Ray Lewis, whether it's any player with any indiscretion, if they win, the tide turns in their favor. You know, essentially, they become beloved again. They become a household name again. So if you could weather the storm, you essentially can get a great player for a cheap contract that nobody cares about. Tariq Hill for Kansas City is the quintessential example, right? What he did was 9 times more egregious than what Kareem Hunt did, but nobody talks about that. Nobody's asking for him to be kicked off an NFL franchise, NFL roster, right? He served his penance. I think the big issue that people are going to have with the Kareem Hunt signing is that there was no penalty as of yet. Now, that's probably looming. There'll probably be, you know, 4-5 game suspension, but that's easily taken by NFL franchise. That penalty is easily taken. Oh, we get Kareem for 11 games for $1 million. Oh, that's a steal. And I want to be frank about this. A lot of people will say, you know, if you commit domestic violence, you shouldn't be allowed back into the NFL. Well, Kareem Hunt didn't commit domestic violence. Kareem Hunt committed assault. Now, how do you feel about that, right? Many NFL players have committed assault, and, you know, people look the other way. Now, the fact that this was a woman,
makes it more dastardly, makes you look at Kareem Hunt with a little bit more of a side eye. But this wasn't domestic violence. The domestic violence policy does not take place here. He didn't know this woman. He wasn't dating this woman. This was assault. So you got to look at it in that frame of reference, right? Joe Mixon, right? We saw what happened with him, right? And nobody's really talking about Joe Mixon anymore. Assault. That's the skinny of it. Antonio Brown has formally requested a trade from the Pittsburgh. I need to understand what the fuck is going on in Pittsburgh, right? What? Why does everybody want out? You, two of your best players essentially have forfeited their contracts and said, I need to be somewhere else. Le'Veon Bell's issue is a little bit more money related, whereas Antonio Brown's seems to be more personality related. But two of your best players, this is unprecedented. Right, that's like Jerry Rice and Craig and John Taylor asking out of San Francisco. This is not something you see every day. What the fuck is going on in Pittsburgh? What is Ben Roethlisberger and Mike Tomlin doing wrong? Right, you have a team that could potentially compete for a Super Bowl, and they're being sabotaged by their own players. And I can understand why players on that team are pissed. I can understand why the offensive line, you know, kind of revolted against Le'Veon Bell. I can understand why Ben Roethlisberger is speaking out on Antonio Brown. But, I mean, it says something about that organization, whereas players went out, and they went out badly enough to make a spectacle of themselves. Right? Now, I'm not mad. You know, Antonio Brown has communicated that he would love to play for the San Francisco 49ers. And as a card-carrying member of Niner Nation, you know, I applaud that. I hope the move is done, you know, preferably for a third or fourth round pick, you know, sweeten the pot. You know, he's a troublemaker. I will take every bit of leverage we can get in order to get him in the red and gold. But that doesn't take away from the fact that Pittsburgh has a serious problem, right? They are the total opposite of the New England Patriots, who is everybody seems to be about the team. In Pittsburgh, everybody seems to be about themselves. But Antonio Brown is on the market, and I'm pretty sure there will be quite a few teams vying for his services. Hopefully, he lands in the right place. Come back to the Bay. We could juju. Further proof that baseball fucking sucks. If I didn't mention it early, baseball fucking sucks. One of the big storylines in baseball was that Kyler Murray, Heisman Trophy winner, you know, had been drafted and signed by the Oakland A's. Well, that's no longer a story because he retracted, rescinded, and refunded that money back to the Oakland A's and has told the world that he's all in on playing football. Now, I don't fault Kyler Murray. As we know, quarterback is the quintessential position in all of sports, right? So if you have a chance to go through a baseball farm system where you potentially might not see the field for 3-4 years or be a first-round draft pick in the NFL where you potentially get the opportunity to play year one, day one, and make millions of dollars doing so, the smart money says you would take that opportunity. I don't know if Kyler Murray is going to be a success. I mean, he's 5'7". You know, we all know how I feel about midgets, you know. But if Drew Brees can do it, if Baker Mayfield can do it, then I have no question as to whether or not Kyler Murray can do it. It's all going to fall on how much he wants it. He has the tools. He has the ability to throw the ball. He has the arm talent. All the bullshit slogans that you're going to hear leading up to the combine. He has the mental wherewithal. Now it's just a matter of getting it done. He's going to be a high-round draft pick. And if I was the Arizona Cardinals, who's currently pick at number one, I would be all in. I mean, you just made the boneheaded decision to sign Cliff Kingsbury as your coach. So you might as well go full air raid at this point, right? You might as well get rid of that pocket passer in Josh Rosen and get yourself a playmaker in Kyler Murray, right? Again, this is a self righteous statement for me because I totally want them to take somebody outside of Nick Bosa so that Nick Bosa may land in San Francisco. That would be a hell of a coup, right? Come away this year with Antonio Brown and Nick Bosa. Oh, man. Damn, that shit just brought a smile to my face. Let me drink this drink. Hold on. What else? Joe Flacco to Denver. Now, I'm the one drinking, but John Elway might be the one that's drunk, right? I need to know how many trash-ass quarterbacks do you plan on bringing in before you just bite the bullet and draft somebody good in the first round? Whether it's Brock Osweiler or Trevor Siemian or Case Keenum and now Joe Flacco, you're making these lateral moves between trash player to trash player. Joe Flacco ain't been good in 6 years. Joe Flacco just got replaced by Lamar Jackson, who we still question if he knows how to throw the football more than 10 yards, right? Joe Flacco had one good year and made millions of dollars doing so. I don't fault him. Listen, man, if you can make $1 million off of one good year, by all means. But what is John Elway smoking? I know weed is legal in Denver. Is he high off the ganj? Because he makes a lot of bad decisions. And I know he's the face of that franchise, and he's a hometown hero. But at some point, somebody in that organization got to question whether John Elway knows what the fuck he's doing. Because to me, the answer is no. All right? You lucked up when you brung Peyton Manning, and he gave you one good year, and you got your ass whipped in the Super Bowl. The next year, you win the Super Bowl, but that was off the strength of the defense that was essentially put together before you got there. Peyton Manning was a shell of his former self. And Von Miller essentially said, you know what? No, Satan, you will not take this Super Bowl from me. John Elway hasn't done a lot of great in Denver. All right? Big names often have trouble identifying great players. It's been proven with Michael, whether it's Michael Jordan or Magic Johnson, it's been proven that when you're great at something, you have a hard time identifying others that had the potential to be great because you just expect too much. Maybe it's time to make a change. Maybe it's time for John Elway to go. Or just get him off the ganja, get him off the bottle, sober him up, and get him some help. There were reports that Adam Silver, commissioner of the NBA, was reached out to by several owners in the NFL to inquire as to whether or not he would be interested in being the commissioner of the NFL. I applaud this move. I mean, I like Adam Silver, right? He just seems like a cool-ass woke white boy. I don't have any proof. Any stats to back up that statement. But I applaud everything Adam Silver has done with the NBA. So I don't see why he couldn't have done that or why he can't continue to do that with the NFL. And if you think about it as a transition point, you could totally understand the NFL's point of view, right? The NFL's propensity to offer or question whether or not Adam Silver could be the next lineage or next leader in that franchise. When you see what he's done for the NBA, you can't help but, you know, break out into a slow golf clap. Couple that with the fact that Roger Goodell has taken a beating over the last couple of years, and by saying beating, I'm actually being nice over the last couple of years. Goodell might actually be at the point where, you know, he welcomes retirement. The NBA is fascinating, and what Adam Silver has done is fascinating. And if I'm Roger Goodell, you know, I'm a little jealous. But there is one question that I need answered by NBA fans, by the NBA organization within itself, and that's this: how the fuck is the New York Knicks your most valuable franchise? And I'm going to repeat this question. So Forbes released an article saying the New York Knicks were the most valuable franchise in the NBA. Now, I get it. New York is the mecca. Madison Square Garden is you know, one of those places that, you know, will go down in the history of the sport. But I'm going to repeat this. How in the fuck do the New York Knicks become your most valuable franchise. Their owner is a drunk who got choked out by Charles Oakley. And more importantly, they've been ass for the last 20 years. So New York is more valuable than Golden State, who's in the current, who's currently running a dynasty, than the Los Angeles Lakers with LeBron James. It just makes no sense to me, right? Are New York Knicks fans that dumb? Like, what are you still buying tickets for? Kristaps Porzingis is no longer in the fold. Most people couldn't name the starting lineup for the New York Knicks. Now, I get it. You know, they're vying for the top pick in the draft. They think they're going to bring in KD. They think they're going to bring in Kyrie Irving. That's great for the future. But where we start currently stand, it's a terrible fucking franchise. Yet and still, they're the most valuable in terms of financial obligation, financial disposition. It amazes me. I wanted to, now that the NFL season is over and we're beginning to transition into the NBA, you know, this is the time of the year where, you know, you're going to start hearing LeBron versus Jordan conversations. Is LeBron the GOAT? Right? First of all, let's put a bow in this conversation. LeBron's not the GOAT. And this is not taking shots at LeBron. This is not trash talking LeBron. LeBron is the fifth best player in NBA history. And I got stats. I got equations. I got formulas to back this thing up. All right. Michael Jordan's your GOAT. Followed closely by Kareem. Wilt's coming in at third. Tim Duncan's fourth. And then you have LeBron narrowly edging out Shaquille O'Neal. Okay? So before you become the... And I get it. Like, we've been having these conversations excluding big men. But I, you know, based on a couple articles I read and the disdain from Shaq and Bill Russell and Wilt Chamberlain, I decided to re-enter them back into the fold. And that pushes LeBron down the list back to fifth. That's where he currently stands. Now, I know a lot of people think LeBron's legacy is set in stone, but his legacy can take a hit, can take a major hit if the Lakers don't make the playoffs. A big push for the pro LeBron people is that, you know, he's made the NBA final umpteen times, right? But that was in the Eastern Conference. I've told you for several years, the Eastern Conference, well, not so much right now, but for several years prior, the Eastern Conference was a fucking cesspool, right? It was made up of a bunch of terrible teams, right? LeBron could crip walk his way into the finals at that point. Boston was in his way a couple years, but outside of that, I mean, you had your PG-13 led Indiana Pacers, but that's nothing to write home about. LeBron James didn't have any formidable opponents in order to get to the finals. Now he's in the Western Conference. And you mean to tell me the first year you go to the Western Conference after making the finals 9 years in a row in the East, you might not make the playoffs? Bruh, that invalidates everything you essentially did the last couple of years. That proves the point that the reason why you made it to the finals so many years is not because you're that great, is because the competition was that trash, was that ass. All right? LeBron has to make the playoffs. If he doesn't make the playoffs, we could end the conversation for good. There's no more debate about who the GOAT is, who the greatest of all time is. If the Lakers don't make the playoffs, that's worse than LeBron getting swept in the finals. That's worse than LeBron getting dominated by the Warriors 3 out of 4 years. If LeBron does not make the playoffs, I need people to understand how detrimental to his legacy that is now that he's in the Western Conference. It invalidates everything he did in the years prior. Yes, he's still going to be a great player. Yes, he's still going to be fifth on the all-time list. But he needs to make this playoff. And I also wanted to speak to a point where, you know, I've heard it for many years and I've always said it was a myth about how LeBron James makes everybody better. LeBron James does not make everybody better. Dwayne Wade was already great. Chris Bosh was already great. Kyrie Irving was already great. Kyle Korver and Ray Allen could already shoot. Who did he really make better, right? LeBron James doesn't make players better. He might get rid of you and get better players brought in, you know, surround himself with as much talent as possible, but he does not make better as player. And his act is starting to wear thin. I mean, how many coaches has LeBron James gotten fired? How many players has LeBron James gotten replaced? Now, I get it. A lot of people will say, well, when you're the GOAT and you're chasing greatness, you know, you need to push people. But at the same time, when is good and when is what you have good enough? Right? When he moved to Lakers, you said, oh, he got Kuzma, he got Ingram, he got Ball, right? He got Josh Hart. This is a much better roster than what he had in Cleveland. So then now all of a sudden is everybody expendable, right? He's alienated everybody on that team. And this is the same. This is a rinse, wash, rinse, repeat strategy that he's taken when he went to Miami, when he went back to Cleveland. It's the same old thing, time and time again. It's getting old. It's getting old, bro. Two big streaks going on in the NBA. And a lot of people are debating as to which one's more impressive. So you got James Harden scoring 30 in 31 straight games, right? Breaking Wilt Chamberlain's, I think, his second longest record. The team is going 21-10 during that time span. You got Russell Westbrook with 11 straight triple doubles, breaking Wilt Chamberlain's record also, with the team going 9-1 during that period. So which one is more impressive, the scorer or the all-around player? I'm going to go with Westbrook. And I know this is probably shock people because, you know, I've always said basketball is about one thing, getting buckets. But when you score 30 on 30 shots, that's not that impressive to me. And yes, I do believe assists are the most overrated statistic in all of sports. But when you do that and win 9 out of 10 games, when you're a big guard and you're pulling down 10 boards, and when you're triple doubles, you're still putting up 22, 23 points. These aren't bullshit triple doubles. That's impressive to do it 11 times. And what makes it even more impressive is you essentially relegated your role as the alpha male on that team to Paul George, who's probably second in the MVP race right now. So I applaud Russell Westbrook. And if you know me, you know Russell Westbrook is one of my favorite players. But I've been highly critical of him as of late for the simple fact that I think he was stat padding. Now I think James Harden is stat padding. And I think Russell Westbrook is playing ball. So if you ask me which one was more impressive currently, I would say Russell Westbrook is more impressive because it makes his team better. What James Harden does not make Houston better. We've seen this from James Harden. But when he gets into the playoffs, he folds like a fucking lawn chair, right? Russell Westbrook comes to play every day, and he puts his heart in it, and there is no quit. Like, there is no quitting Russell Westbrook, so there is no such thing as stat padding because he's going to play hard as long as he's on the court. If James Harden, I feel like if he's not close to getting that 30 points, you know, his play is relegated. So, yes, I'm going to say Russell Westbrook's triple-double streak is a lot more impressive to me than James Harden's 30-point streak. And as I mentioned, Giannis and Paul George is playing phenomenal, and I got him second in the MVP race to Giannis. The last thing I wanted to talk about was Duke, and it's freshmen, right? I was prepared, man. You know, I was prepared to come into today, into this podcast, and try to convince the world that RJ Barrett was the better player than Zion Williamson. And I still think that going into the NBA, his game may transition better. But Zion Williams is a fucking man amongst boys, man. I did a deep dive. I did my research right prior to this podcast. And I've came away thoroughly impressed. He plays defense. You know, he's increased his ability to shoot the ball, to play off ball, and then he's a human highlight film. There's not much more you can ask of a college player. RJ Barrett gives you a lot of the same things Zion Williamson gives you, but at times it seems as though he's sleepwalking through games. Like, he's bored with the competition. So if I'm saying which player is currently better in the collegiate level, then Zion Williamson is a better player than RJ Barrett. Now, would I take Zion Williamson over RJ Barrett? It depends. And a big part of this is going to be ticket sales, right? As I told you, rich white men like to make money, man. Rich white men and Michael Jordan like to make money. You probably do take Zion Williamson because Zion Williamson is going to sell you more tickets than RJ Barrett is. That's all I got, man. Close out this show, man. I'd like to thank everybody for listening. I really appreciate it. We had about 20 listens last week. We're going to try to double that this week. We're on pretty much every major podcast network, Spotify, Anchor. Next week we'll get the YouTube page rolling. Please like, please subscribe, desubscribe, resubscribe, re-like, rate. We trying to get this thing popping by any means necessary. So with that, I like to conclude and say again, thanks for listening. This is Sports Whiskey and Earn. I'm halfway drunk, so this seems like a good time to end the show. Peace.